Organize Me Radio, Episode 81, Creating an Autism-Friendly Space. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson, and April is Autism Acceptance Month. And all month long, I've been bringing you various topics surrounding autism. And today, I am going to tell you how I created a sensory space for my son. So a little bit of a background on me. I am the host of Organize Me Radio, and I own Restore Order Professional Organizing, which I started in 2013. And my youngest son was diagnosed with autism when he was about to turn 5 years old. So I'm not an expert. However, I am an expert in organization and I am living the experience. So I think that I have a level of credibility where I can teach you how to create a sensory space for your child or for yourself if you are needing that. So I want to tell you all a little bit more about my son. His name's Gavin. He's 9 years old now. He will be 10 years old this year. And like I said earlier, he was diagnosed with autism just before his fifth birthday. And I'm not going to say that getting a diagnosis was easy. We had to kind of jump through many hoops to get there. I first noticed that he had something going on at the age of 2, I would say, and he just wasn't speaking like, you know, my other nephew who was the same age. And one thing about Gavin is that he is nonverbal, like, you know, so many other children on the spectrum are. But Gavin is nonverbal. He did have his first words. He hit all of his developmental milestones. He started walking at 10 months. And then there were some words that he said, but then eventually his speech kind of regressed. And he, in my opinion, talks, but it's in a language that we don't quite understand. He's very vocal and he's always trying to tell us something. So right now he actually uses a communication device. So he has an iPad mini and it has touch chat on it. And if you're not familiar with touch chat, that is basically an app that you can put on an iPad or an iPhone, and he's able to talk. So he's able to say, I want goldfish, or he's able to say, hi, mommy, or I love you. He can sign as well. So he knows some sign language. So he can sign, I love you. He can sign, mommy. He can sign, all done, more, things of that nature. So he does have a way to communicate. It's just not the traditional method of speaking. So, he was diagnosed with a speech delay at age 2. Then at age 3, they diagnosed him with a developmental delay before they gave us the autism diagnosis. Then it was sensory processing disorder. And then we finally got that autism diagnosis. So it took a while. I had to jump through several hoops. And if you know someone who has a child with autism or other types of special needs, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it takes a lot to get to that diagnosis so then you can get those services for your children. So a lot of kids with autism have sensory processing disorder, and that's where creating a sensory space comes into play. So I'm going to tell you the definition of what sensory processing disorder is. All right, so sensory processing disorder is a condition that affects how your brain processes sensory information, which is stimuli. Sensory information includes things you see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. Sensory processing disorder can affect all of your senses or just one. Sensory processing disorder usually means you're overly sensitive to stimuli that other people are not. So, in our case, Gavin is sensitive to light and he is sensitive to sounds, and he loves to jump up and down, and he also loves to STEM, which a lot of, not just, kids or people with autism STEM, but, all people, neurotypical people STEM as well. And if you're wondering what that is, it could be, if you're shaking your leg or your foot under the table, if you're tapping a pen, that's stimming. So according to the CDC, now 1 in 36 children are diagnosed with autism. So when you think of it that way, you're likely to have someone in your family that might have autism. You're likely to know someone who has a child that has autism or is autistic themselves. So there really is a need to have sensory items in your home. So I want to go over some of the things that I have in my home that has helped Gavin with his sensory processing disorder. So one of the first things that we got in our house was a trampoline. We actually had just a little kid trampoline when Gavin was a baby. So before Gavin could even walk, we had a trampoline for Ethan. And part of Gavin's determination to crawl was trying to crawl to get to that trampoline. So he's been jumping on a trampoline for the longest time. Pretty much since he could stand, he's been jumping on a trampoline. I remember I signed him up for a gymnastics class through the YMCA, and it was just a toddler gymnastics class. And I remember they had a really long trampoline, and it was so funny because Gavin was jumping, like kind of like jumping across the trampoline with no issues. And there were other parents like, how did he learn to jump like that? Like he didn't fall off. He wasn't scared. He wasn't, wouldn't sit down on the trampoline, but he would just jump across with no problem. And I think still today, jumping on a trampoline is one of his favorite things. We no longer have a trampoline in the house. We did keep a trampoline in the house for several years. And then a couple years ago, we got a backyard trampoline, and it's a really big trampoline, can hold adults, children, so it can really grow with Gavin as he gets older. So a trampoline is definitely something that's great so they can get their wiggles out. So when Gavin was a toddler, we had a water table. He kind of outgrew that water table, so we donated it. So he used to go to ABA therapy full time, and they had a water table, and he absolutely loved the water table. On his iPad, he can say, "I want water table." So he's been asking us and asking us and asking us for a water table. So Christmas of 2023, we decided to get a water table, but we got I guess a bigger kid water table where it's really just like a two storage containers and you can put water in it or kinetic sand or something along those lines. Well, let me tell you, that was not the water table that he wanted. But we did put some water beads in there, and he did enjoy playing with the water beads, or he does enjoy playing with the water beads. And then we decided on the other side to put kinetic sand in there. And then we just decided to go ahead and get him one of those toddler water tables because why not? He loves playing with it. He loves seeing the water fall and everything. And that's just something that really helps him with his sensory processing. Another thing that we have that is helpful is a crash pad. So the first time I saw a crash pad was when Gavin went to occupational therapy. So a thing about autistic children is they will have to do so many different therapies. So Gavin does ABA therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. And his occupational therapist had him running and crashing into the crash pad. And then when he started going to ABA therapy full time, they had a really big crash pad. And I looked and I was like, oh my God, this is great. Where'd you get this from? So I found one and I now have a crash pad in Gavin's room. It is, and if you're watching the YouTube version, I will have the pictures up. So if you're listening, go to the YouTube version so you can see all the pictures of the items that I'm mentioning. But in the crash pad, it is, I think it's about 5 feet by 5 feet. So it's pretty big. And there are foam pieces inside of the crash pad. So, you can run and you can jump on it and you won't get hurt. I realize Gavin isn't the only one that uses it. My oldest son, Ethan, he uses the crash pad as well. When my nephews come to visit, they absolutely love jumping off the bed onto the crash pad. And it's safe because, again, the bed isn't very high. It's a very short bed, and it's foam pieces. So it's safe for them to just crash into it. I noticed there are times where if Gavin wakes up in the middle of the night, he might go and lay on his crash pad and then fall back to sleep. So it's definitely a comfortable area for him to be in as well. Another item that I really love for him is his weighted blanket. My mom got him the weighted blanket years ago, but he wasn't able to use it for probably the first year or two of her getting it, just because you have to make sure that it's the right weight for the child. So you don't want anything that's too heavy. But Gavin really likes kind of pressure on his head. So he likes putting the weighted blanket on his head or a heavy comforter on his head. And that just really helps him. So sometimes you might think, what does it do? What is the point of using all these things? Well, I know for Gavin, he doesn't have meltdowns very often. He's a pretty chill kid, but because, there's kind of a language barrier, we don't always understand what he wants. He'll get frustrated and he might have a meltdown. So if he has his weighted blanket on his head, that helps to calm him down. Another thing, the lighting in the room. You want to make sure that the lighting isn't too bright. And, sometimes Gavin, we can just put him in a dark room. So it's another instance where if he is having a meltdown, we'll put him in a dark room and we'll just, turn the lights off and he's fine. So a lot of times it's when you're not sure what it is your kid needs. Doing something where they can help get their wiggles out, or it's not too bright, or it's not too loud, sometimes that can help solve the problem. So one of Gavin's absolute favorite things is having stuffed animals. In the previous episode, I spoke with Amelia Dorsey Crawford, and she was talking about how her daughter, who is autistic as well, she likes stuffed animals and she likes them on the bed and everything like that. Well, Gavin is the same way. He absolutely loves stuffed animals. He doesn't have them on his bed so much anymore, because I created a space for them where he can put them away. And he does like to put things away and he likes to be clean and tidy, but he absolutely loves his stuffed animals. Now, if you're wondering what I use a taller basket and it has a lid, and I stack them. So that's a good way to keep all the stuffed animals contained. Gavin also really likes playing with different action figures and softer little stuffed animals, but smaller. And so what I do with those is I have a toy sorter that I use, but then I also have soft storage bins that are cube bins that can go in a cube organizer. He really loves pulling those out and throwing all his toys out of them. But that is a good soft item to have in your kid's room if they have sensory processing disorder. I think that anything that you can do to minimize the hard objects that you might have is helpful, because sometimes, a meltdown can be so bad that, maybe a kid might bang his head on something and you want them to be safe. We want to protect our children and we want to do whatever we can to help them to process the stimuli that they are having such a hard time trying to process. Another thing that Gavin really loves is something that we call an egg chair. That's another thing that I discovered or I saw at his ABA therapy, and they told me how much he loved this egg chair. So I went to IKEA, found the egg chair, and bought it, and we now have it at home. The egg chair is something where it's kind of shaped like an egg, and there is a visor. I guess you would call that a visor that goes down, and you can like he can kind of like close it and hide in there if he wants to, which he still does from time to time. But we also have in his room, we have a tent. And he absolutely loves going into this little tent. He loves bringing his toys into the tent. He loves, just going into the tent to chill out. So these are the things that I have in my home to help with Gavin's sensory processing needs. And I think that if you have a child where you are trying to figure out, what to do, but you don't want to feel like your house is cluttered with things, then I would say, try things out just a little bit at a time. The way I have it designed is I have his crash pad in his room. I have his tent in his room. Oh, and I also have a beanbag chair. Not actually beans in there, but I have a Big Joe beanbag chair in his room. So those are the things that I have. His weighted blanket stays in his room as well. And then we have the trampoline outside. We have the toddler-like water table outside. And then on the main level, I have his egg chair. I have it in the living room. So if, we're hanging out, having family time, or he wants to look at his iPad, he can sit in his egg chair and do it. And I'm able to keep eyes on him. And then we have the more grown-up water table that has the kinetic sand and it has the water beads. I have that in my dining room because our dining room doesn't get used very often. It gets used maybe once a year around Christmas. So I allow him to play with that in the dining room. So if you're worried, spread things out around your house or figure out what it is that your kid likes the most and then decide where that should live in your home. The important thing is making sure that everything that you bring into your home has a place so you don't feel like you are cluttering up the space. For those of you trying to create a sensory space for your child or for yourself, I really hope this information was helpful. I am so thankful for all of the things that I'm able to have so that my son can live a more comfortable life. I hope that we can all be more accepting of autism and sensory processing disorder and, not give these children or people who are autistic a hard time with fitting into our world because it's not easy. It is not easy for these kids. My son Gavin has, like I mentioned, so many different therapies. There might be people who stare when he's vocalizing, and all he's trying to do is communicate, just like we all communicate. I am so thankful to all of you for tuning in to this episode of Organize Me Radio and listening to my story. And I hope that if you are trying to create a sensory space for yourself or for your child, that this information has helped you. Thank you so much for watching, and be sure to tune in next time for an all-new episode. Thank you.